This is the first episode of Modern Fable, a storytelling podcast with a point. I'm your host, Matthew Leitao. And before we get started, I wanted to take a second to explain exactly what this podcast is about. Growing up, one of my favorite books to read was Aesop's Fables. The book was a collection of short stories, usually about animals, with a lesson or a point, a moral to the story. I used to love these tales because I would always go in and learn something from it. These stories felt like they had a point, a very honest lesson that you can really take to heart and have fun doing it. But I got to thinking recently, we're kind of missing these types of stories about our modern world that we live in. Stories that kind of take us and teach us lessons about the weird and ever-changing world that we kind of partake in. So what I want this podcast to be is stories from modern life, lessons from history, and a conversation about current events. Bringing in knowledge and experience that may help us kind of navigate through the 21st century that we live in. I by no means want to do this alone. I plan to regularly bring people on to be able to share their own knowledge, their own lessons. I know that one person can't accumulate all the experience in the world, and listening to others is a great way to be able to expand that. The last thing I want to say before I start is that I have 6 test casts that I'm going to be putting out at the same time as this first episode. They're just me trying out different ways to tell stories. They're interesting, and it's a show of progress over the course of weeks and a month. So if you want to listen, please do. Give some comments and feedback. I would love that. So without further ado, I want to get to the first episode of this podcast. It's entitled Doubt. I was 18, fresh out of high school. It was a lot of indecision and fun back then. It was the last summer I was going to spend with a lot of my friends before they went off to school and we might lose touch, so I wanted to make the most of it. Problem was is that my whole summer was plagued by indecision. I didn't really know where I wanted to go. I had a couple options, moving away and going to school, or perhaps staying close to home and going to community college. Not my first choice, but it was always an option. After a long time of deliberating, I decided to go to community college. There was a lot of choice and a lot of weighing of my options, but that's a story from another time. What happens in this story comes next. My first experience at college, it certainly was memorable. Like with all colleges, there was an orientation. And in your orientation, you had to kind of acquaint yourself with the school, get an understanding of all the resources that are available to you. Well, community college is just the same, though. There's an online orientation. You had to actually go into the school and meet with a counselor before you can even get any of the classes. So, one summer afternoon, in the middle of a heat wave, I came in, made a schedule for a mid-afternoon appointment. I had the time back then in the afternoons. After finding a parking spot on that godforsaken hill that the school was built on, I went down to the center, a room that I had only visited once, and that was during this occasion. Never really had any opportunity to go again or any reason. I signed in at the desk, told them my name. They asked me to sit down for a little while. And eventually, they called my time and directed me into a room. I was the only one who stood up. I was the only one there. I think it was around 1:30. But I was sitting face to face with a counselor. She was a lovely woman, and she had asked me to wait a couple more minutes just in case anyone decided to show up. I realized that this is probably late in the season. My decision to go to community college was by far not my first choice, but it was also a late choice. And so that meant that the orientations that I were going to was more of the last call for people didn't plan far enough ahead, or for people like me who simply couldn't make a decision. Well, eventually time passed enough and she knew no one else was coming. And so we sat down and made some small talk. She explained the resources on campus. And surprisingly, when you only have one person to talk to, you go over the spiel that they're kind of required to go over pretty quickly. I understood it all. It's pretty basic information. Here's where all the buildings are. Here's a map. Here's where the counselors are. This is where you pay your fees. If you have any trouble, there's a health center on campus. Other than that, kind of figure it out yourself. I remember not having that many questions. It was all pretty straightforward. I understood it to a degree, but it was a kind of nerve-wracking experience because I've never really been to college and I didn't know what to expect other than kind of what I hear from others and what I see in the movies. And they don't really show you how to apply for classes in either of those. So what ended up happening is that we had a lot of free time. And before the end of it, she was asking about my major and what I wanted to do, what classes I wanted to take for the first quarter. Now I finally found something I was confident about, something that I actually knew what I was doing. I had said pretty confidently, I want to do psychology. I had an idea that I wanted to be a therapist. I had fallen in love with psychology in high school after taking a class and finding the subject kind of fascinating. I couldn't get enough of it. I saw her face. It went from a smile and a laugh to kind of a very stern look, and as she retorted, "Don't do psychology." I was thrown for a loop, to be honest. That wasn't what I was expecting to hear. She went on, though. She had started talking about her time at school. She had studied psych just like I wanted to. Actually, gone to master's in the subject, and when she went to get her credentials in it, she had the option of doing a dual program, one in school counseling and one in therapy, which is more so what she wanted to do. So in those types of programs, you have to do in care hours, so hours that you're spent with patients learning the practice under the supervision of another professional. What she didn't know is that the hours didn't overlap. You can only use the hours for one certain thing. And so having the school counseling needing 2,000 instead of 4,000 or something that the therapy needed, she had a lot of the hours there thinking she could double up on her time and voila, she would have two certificates for the price of one. But if you know where the story is going, obviously that didn't happen. She couldn't do those types of things, so she was stuck in getting a certificate for school counseling, which was not exactly what she wanted to do with her life. And doing thousands of hours of in practice stuff, you can prolong your career for only so long before you actually have to sit down and make some money. Her time was up. So she actually fell into the career of school counseling, and at least by the confirmation standards, it wasn't exactly what she wanted to do. She began telling me all the downsides of doing psychology, all the hours I would have to spend working on it, and all the education that I would need to go on beyond a bachelor's degree. I had already known this, but she was very adamant in telling me these types of things. For my first experience at school, this wasn't exactly what I was expecting. I kind of sat there frozen for a second, and even after our meeting, I kind of was taken out of it. And that's not what I was expecting when I went in there today. I was really just expecting to get my classes and hear some good news about the fact that I probably would have a full schedule, something that both my parents were really much wanting me to have, but was up in the air seeing as I had open enrollment. But instead, I got seeds of doubt. It's really not what I was looking for orientation, but maybe it was an orientation of a different kind, an orientation of what life could be, orientation about where my dreams may lie and if it's worth following my dreams at all. Let me take a short break for tea. think that's the question I've always been asking myself. Is it worthwhile to follow your dreams? If having a little doubt is okay, it's then kind of obvious why my favorite book is The Alchemist. And now I'm not going to give many details. People should read that book. It's by Paulo Coelho. It's one of my favorite authors, but that book is one of the only books that I've been able to read multiple times. It seems that it's a family favorite because both my mom and my sister agree with me and have their own reasons for liking it. But one of my reasons for liking it is because it's about a journey, about a guy who's sent to follow his dreams, sent to follow his path. And yet along the way, he encounters doubt, and it's a very true doubt. A doubt of whether what he's doing is utterly ridiculous, and yet he continues down the rabbit hole, even though he, at some points, is his most fervent objector. I think that's why it resonates with me. It's something that I come across every day. Now, in trying to prepare for this podcast, I wanted to try and do a little bit more research into other great people who I doubt, but unfortunately a lot of those stories don't ever come see the light of day. We like to put great people on pedestals, pedestals of that they are beyond human understanding and ability. As someone who's into psychology, it's actually my great pleasure to say that a lot of people are very similar. And it's only these small little tweaks that we make to ourselves and the ability to push back at crucial moments that really make and break someone's ability to really make change in the world. Those are the moments in biographies that usually end up either being a chapter or perhaps just a couple pages and telling you about how someone doubted something, the real struggle that they had, but it's usually overcome. That's the point, it needs to be overcome. I think the best examples of doubt I could find were ones about religion. Religion is a good example of people having doubt. It's a belief that sometimes doesn't substantiate. You have to be patient. You have to have faith. And it leads a lot of people to question the confines and their desire to kind of put forth everything in their life for something as crazy as, you know, God. Now, not to knock religion, I'm religious myself, but it's the idea that even though there are barriers to what we believe, there are things that we feel rather than know. And the way to combat that is to have faith. Faith is a substance that allows us to kind of press on in these situations that would ordinarily crush us or leave us in ruin. I think great philosophers, believers, great men in general need to have faith in something, have something greater than themselves. One of my idols is Martin Luther King Jr. And from a young age, I used to look up to him, and he was a man of faith as a preacher, but he also had a faith in humanity, a faith in our society to come together at large, to be able to hold hands in fellowship and friendship, to be able to make change. His speech about "I have a dream," something that I've listened to a lot more than I'd like to admit, is about the fact that he dreams of a future that people can come together. But it's also the fact that I'm sure with all the hatred out there, all the doubt that was being thrown at him, the number of times he was arrested, the protests where people were beaten, people were hosed, dogs were sicked on. Like, these things filled the hearts and minds of many people around that generation, and yet they still persisted because they believed in something that was greater than themselves. They had faith. And that's the point. One of my other idols, or other two, was Mahatma Gandhi and Nelson Mandela. Mahatma Gandhi made an entirely peaceful revolution, a changeover from the British colonial government, and kept good relations with them, with a country that was so spread apart. Now, yeah, there was faults, but people had done something that was unheard of back in the day. Now I want to go to Nelson Mandela, a man who believed in a country that should be united under one flag and one people, and yet He was locked in prison for years, and you can't honestly say he did not doubt those moments. Those moments when he was alone in his prison cell, wondering to God why he was still there, wondering if it was all worthwhile, and yet he persisted and had faith. Now, it is not a solo endeavor. We need people around us to help us. We need people to be able to assure us. Yeah, some of us need more assuring than others, but allow us to kind of flourish our dreams in our own way, to be able to flourish what we want in this passion. Now, getting back to The Alchemist, I think the prevailing part of this was the fact that during his journey, he kept coming up against roadblocks. Like all people, he kept coming up against these things, either in the environment where he had to question himself, or other people just thinking it was ridiculous for him to be following his dream across this entire weird world that we live in. And that's my point, is that sometimes there will be people that come across and say no to our dreams and say no to our aspirations. We come across these people on an every day, and I think it's actually pretty healthy for us to do so. It allows us to sit and reflect on what we do. But if our dream is really solid enough and our desire is still pure, then it allows us to move forward without any hesitation. It allows us to keep pushing forward. A lot of the time, there's not that much malicious intent. It's people wanting to help us, to save us from ourselves or from our dreams. A lot of people don't understand or know what we've been through or what we're going. And sometimes they could be right. I'm not going to make the illusion that all advice is wrong just because it goes against what you believe. But it takes a second, and you have to evaluate all of your choices to be able to understand exactly what you're doing, be able to understand where you're going. There's a lot of people out there that have very good advice, a lot of people who've been around the block and understand. But if you're willing to accept all the challenges and accept all the burden of having a dream and having to live it, then those types of things aren't a deterrent, but more of a challenge, more of a way of saying you might be going in the right direction, because there's a little bit of difficulty this way, and that's what you need to overcome. Before I finish the story, I wanted to take another moment and tell you a story about a fox from Aesop's Fables. This type of storytelling might not be a recurring thing, but I thought it was fitting because I found the perfect fable for this. A fox had been caught in a trap, succeeding at last after much painful tugging in getting away. But he had to leave his beautiful bushy tail behind him. For a long time he kept away from the other foxes, for he knew well enough that they would all make fun of him and crack jokes and laugh at his back. But it's hard for him to live alone, so at last he thought of a plan that would perhaps help him out of his troubles. He called a meeting of all the foxes and said he had something of great importance to tell the tribe. When they all gathered together, the fox without a tail got up and made a long speech about the other foxes who had come to harm because of their tails. This one had been caught by hounds when their tails entangled in a hedge. That one had not been able to run fast enough because of the weight of his bush. Besides, it's well known that men hunt foxes simply for the tails if they cut them off as prizes for the hunt. With such proof of the danger and uselessness of having a tail, said Master Fox, he would advise all the foxes to cut off their tail, because it posed a problem to their safety and lifestyle. When he had finished, an old fox arose, said, smiling, Master Fox, kindly turn around for a moment, and you shall have your answer. When the poor fox without a tail turned around, there arose a storm of jeers and hootering, that he saw how useless it was to try any longer to persuade the foxes to part with their tails, for he knew the only reason why he was trying to get them to part with their tails is because he did not have one for himself. So, when I left that session, when I left that community college that I would be attending for the next 2 years, I thought about it for a moment. I thought about that experience and how it might have impacted me, but it was more so a challenge. A challenge to what my dream was. Her lack of understanding about what I wanted and what I desired led me to want to go and show her that I meant business. Now, years later, she was kind of right. I wanted to be a researcher of all things, but that's something I had to find out for myself after taking classes in psychology. I realized that I love psychology so much that I want to find out more about people. Not something I would have known until I came across of it. And those types of decisions, yeah, there's a very logic base to it, but not a lot of people go into research psychology for the money. It's more of a lesson in heart. And every time I come across it, I get this tingling feeling within me that just shoots electricity through me, something that I feel passionate about. There's a sense of faith that I have with it, something that I know I must do. I must follow my dream, and no matter where it takes me, it's this kind of wildness that kind of lies within me, that when I come across doubters or I come across challenges, it just fuels me to do more and more. But that experience still sticks with me. I can imagine if I had felt less secure with my passion and wasn't more as deeply rooted in it, I might have turned in a different direction. And it might just be some idea sitting in the back of my mind that maybe festered into regret. Other people might have had a different experience, though. They might have turned along a different path, a right path, after that. You really never know with these things, but all you can do is the best you can. I just want to say that at the end of the day, doubt is a part of life. I doubt the things I do. I doubt my direction that I'm going, but I have to go in a direction. It's that lack of moving that really hurts me. I've come to a standstill at points when people have really set high amounts of doubt or amounts of arguments against me doing psychology. It's kind of persisted through the entire process because, again, psych majors don't make a lot of money. There's a lot of education involved in psychology. There's a lot of heart you need to be able to do it. And some people go in it for the wrong reasons, and you can never really know until sometimes you're on the other side. I'm just happy it worked out for me. I don't know, sometimes it might have not worked out for other people, but each person has their own experience. But either way, I got this advice from a teacher that I had in high school. And he told the entire class that you're going to go through a lot of changes in your life. And it's okay to change your mind. But what's important is what you do after you change your mind, is that you take that ability to move and you move in a direction, the direction you think is right. Now, your mind will change, and your preferences will change, your ideas will change, your perspective will shift. But you have to keep moving. If you don't, you'll lose inertia and you'll stay seated right where you are, standing in the position you were months, years ago. And in some ways, you'll kind of give up on the life that you have. So, though that there is doubt within us, it's okay to change your mind. But I think the moral of the lesson is that you need to have faith, and faith in who you are and faith in what you're doing. And if you don't, you either have to get more faith or you have to evaluate exactly where you are, because life's very difficult for those who are wishy-washy, and I would know. I am wishy-washy. I think dreams are great to have, and they're important to us moving forward and kind of succeeding in these little small ways in life. Now, a dream doesn't need to be big, but allows us to do great things, things that are beyond ourselves, things that, you know, great people do. So thank you for listening to the first episode of Modern Fable. I hope to continue doing this on a semi-regular basis. Now, it just depends on how much time I have. And on another note, am going to be entering a master's degree program in psychology in the fall. Little nod to the fact that I'm still doing psychology after all of this time. But I don't know how much time I'll have, but I want to continue doing this because I feel like it's important. And I feel like there's a lot of stories out there that need to be told or should be shared and allow us to kind of come together and find the moral of the story, the lesson to the fable. So thank you for listening, and hopefully you tune back in again. Yo.